Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on February 8th, 2015, and is entitled, The Holy Spirit, Invisible, Personal, and Powerful.
Let's go for the Word of God. Shall we do that? Let's go ahead and find a seat, get your Bible in hand, or take the hand of that stranger next to you. That's okay, too. So I always wanted to know who you were. Grab your Bibles, grab your bulletins. I'm going to the Gospel of John in the New Testament. If you didn't bring a Bible and you need one, talk about John. There he is with a Bible. That's it. He'll hand one to you. Lord, thank you for opening the Word to us and helping us to see something of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, you know our theme in the front of our bulletin. Our theme for this year is multiplying life teams in 2015. It's a multiplication symbol there. It is in 2 Timothy 2:2. Teach these things to faithful men who will in turn teach them to others. Man, that's what we're all about this year. We're hoping, as the Scripture encouraged the family. How many know the family should be the church? But we just should affirm what is being taught at home. But we're taking a look at some things called rediscovering biblical truths. And we're hoping not just our discipleship group that is required to take notes of the message, but that you'll grab a pen up front and just write in the back of the bulletin something that you say, man, that was a good thought. I needed to write that down. Or that's a verse. I'm going to check on Pastor Paul, see if that really is what that verse says. Just write. It keeps you engaged. And don't rely upon your memory. Isn't that true? Because next Sunday, it'll be an extraly special message. You'll say, man, I forgot last Sunday. And we hope that you'll remember by going into a mini church, which is our midweek Bible studies, and take your notes and share the wealth with somebody as well. Well, today, you'll see today's message is entitled, The Holy Spirit, Invisible, Personal, and Powerful. We've been looking at the aspects of God the Father. We came off the holidays looking at Jesus. Now we're looking at the Holy Spirit. And we're wanting to take a very soft approach at that because we recognize if anybody's going to be teaching, if anybody's going to understand spiritual truths and pass it on, we need Him, the Holy Spirit, to help us. Matter of fact, cute little story, typical Sunday school class in a little community church started off. They were reciting the Apostles' Creed, sharing lines, and then the next student came up. So one little boy came up and said, I believe in one God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. He sat down. Little girl popped up. She stood up and says, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord. She sat down. They're all waiting for the next student. And one of the students said, Teacher, the student who's supposed to believe in the Holy Spirit's not here today. And you know, sometimes that can happen in church. When we take a look and we say, do we actually believe in the Holy Spirit? Who is He? Who is He? That's really our first point. We're going to take a look at two simple questions. Who is He? Is He a person or is He a power? How do you view Him, the Holy Spirit, the power of God? Or Him, the power and grandeur of God Almighty? When we take a look at this, because there are going to be those times when we discover that, like the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 19, verse 2, came across some disciples in Acts 19, 2. He said, hey, fellas, and there's 12 of them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Some people have never really understood the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. And so as we take a look, A.W. Tozer said this, the idea of the Holy Spirit to the average church member is so vague as to being non-existent. Why do we want to talk about Him? Is He really a part of things? And so if you view, or if I view, the Holy Spirit as just a power or a source, some energy level, then we'll say things like, oh, I just want more of the Holy Spirit. Bring down the power. Just need some more of that stuff. But if we view Him as God, we'll say, Lord, here's more of my life to You. I surrender my life to You, Holy Spirit. There's a difference how a person views the presence of the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit's talked about throughout all of Scripture, cover to cover. He's all throughout the Holy Spirit. is talked about. So where do we begin? Could we begin there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2? Could start there. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters of the deep. Start there. Or we could start in the very beginning of the New Testament. Very first mention of the Holy Spirit is right there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, talking about Mary. And she, who was betrothed to Joseph, was pregnant or conceived by the Holy Spirit. So right there is the first mention of the Holy Spirit. Old Testament, Holy Spirit's mentioned 90 times. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 260 times. So we take a look and understand those things. When I bring up the aspect of the Holy Spirit, could happen here at Hope Chapel, but could have those that are saying, man, don't talk about the Holy Spirit. I get a little bit nervous because there's been some of my background, some of the things, when people start talking Holy Spirit, wooing and talking and moving, we just don't talk that way. Then there'll be others say, yeah, finally, let's go for it. We call those the Holy Spirit heavies. Yes, yes, let's go now, you know. So there's going to be a little bit of a fine balance. We want to be able to bring that right on in there. We can understand that. So we're going to start with the lips of our Savior who talks about Him, the Holy Spirit. Point number one, who is He? Is He a person or just a power? Let's go to John chapter 14. You and I are aware, John 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, John chapter 17, a lot of red letters in there. That means Jesus is doing a lot of talking. He's in His last hours of His life on this earth. He will be arrested that evening. And He'll be laid out there on the cross for you. So what He's saying is extremely important to His followers, and He's talking all about the Holy Spirit. He's basically, it's a good thing I'm going away. That's what He's talking about here. But let's look here at John 14, verse 15. If you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. Now, let's just take a look at that verse for itself. Is three distinct individuals. Jesus says, I will pray to the Father and He will give you another. So when people say, well, the Trinity's never real, the word Trinity, the title Trinity's not there. There are concepts like we just read that said, who are these three distinct beings, but yet, as we know, are one. So when we look here, verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be where? In you. Whoa, come on. In you. Now that's, if we could get to that point in your life, in my life, we start to see, I sense God's wooing me to move and to do things that I just know are right. But it sure seems like my own conscience thoughts. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit, because you just don't normally think in that way before. So let's just encourage ourselves saying, oh, is that who that is helping me to be that woman or man of God I need to be? Let's look, same chapter 14, look at verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. He's saying, I've talked about these things. He knows He's going to be departing from them. Verse 26, but the Helper, capital H, can you see that pronoun? The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So when we look here, it's very important we start to see how Jesus is talking about these areas of the Holy Spirit's involvement and the importance of that. Is the Holy Spirit just a power source? No, you and I know, we believe He is a person and personality. Now, some of the challenges have been, letter A, through some of the problems of the historical aspects of the church. In the early church, when I talk first setting of the Holy Spirit coming, first century, third century, wasn't until about 400 years later, after the Holy Spirit came, that the church had to say, we believe in the Holy Spirit is God, but there was trouble prior to that. The early church had no problem with it. He's God. We're going to see how the Scriptures, they talk about God, the Holy Spirit. But there were things that started happening in 318 A.D. This guy named Arius of Alexandria, Egypt, said that Jesus Christ is the essence of God, not God, the essence of God, created by God Himself, Jesus was, and then endued by the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than a force. And that started problems in the 300, 400 AD. Church had to hurry up. There were some false teachings. And that's where we had the Nicene Council, 381. They came along, and we call it the Apostles' Creed, where we start citing that. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe in God the Holy Spirit. That came about where they said, should we believe in the Holy Spirit? Is he just a force to reason with, or is he actually God? So it's important that we take a look at that. Dr. John Lloyd Ogilby, he was chaplain of the United States Senate, said this, that sadly many Christians settle for two-thirds of God. God the Father is away up there somewhere, aloof and apart from their daily lives. Christ is out there somewhere between them and the Father, and the Holy Spirit is some kind of vague force of impersonal power they hear about, but they don't know intimately. And I think to myself, man, we're gonna get to know God intimately. Not just read about him, not even hear stories that somebody else is getting excited and enjoying the presence of God. How about Hope Chapel? Do I get a witness? When we take a look here, there can be those personal problems, I would say, in history as well. Because at times, and we could probably even fault it on the charismatic movement, though I love it, part of that, Pentecostal all the way, but that charismatic movement that came along and they would just say, fill me full of your power, God. And even as good and exciting as that is, we just start to reason that maybe the Holy Spirit, that's all he is, just like an afterglow of God the Father and God the Son. So we start taking a look at that and we talk about that, fill me with your spirit. Well, man, God's either here or he isn't. And so we have to be a little bit careful about that. The concept of the Holy Spirit as a divine influence, how important is that? And probably the best example that we saw even in the book of Acts of that happening, you may want to write it down or look at Acts chapter 8, verse 18. Acts 8, 18. I know you're going to write that down, take it into the mini church with you. That's where, man, a revival breaks out in Samaria. Philip's out there. He's just filled with the Holy Spirit. He's laying hands on people, and they're getting healed, and demons are crying out at people. I mean, there was a revival going on. And in Acts 8, 14 through 17, the church of Jerusalem, man, they're sending out missionaries, and they send out Peter and John. The Bible says specifically to go lay hands on those new water-baptized people to receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. It was important to the early church. But I bring up verse 18 because this dude Simon, who was a big wig in Samaria, he basically said, I'd like to write you out a check. How much can I buy this power for? Is there any way I can have that? And Peter says, man, cursed be your money and you if you think that the power of God can be purchased. Sometimes. People think that's kind of, I've just got to do something to get the power. No, we're talking God himself. We saw in Acts chapter 13, the comparison. The comparison is Acts 13, 2, where the Holy Spirit says, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit says. Why don't they just, the Bible say, God? Well, no, the writers, they're, Holy Spirit says, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work I'm commissioning to. The first missionaries going out. Man. That's important. So one says, I'm going to pay for something. I'm going to do something to get more of that power. That's not good. Or, Holy Spirit, how can I cooperate with what you're doing and leading in my family, my life, my business? What can I do to do it right? Letter B, how about personal pronouns? That's also important for us to understand how the scriptures, when theologians would take a look at the scripture, they realized, man, this Holy Spirit has personal pronouns. And in chapter 14, again, verse 26, we saw some of them. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Another helper. That's one of those pronouns. There's 13 personal pronouns in chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16. Take a look at chapter 15, verse 26. Go there for a moment. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, here's another one, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And by the way, the Holy Spirit's a he. Everybody see? Capital H. Not an it. You don't say it, the Spirit. No, no, he's a real being, real God. He's in this room right now. He, the Holy Spirit. Very important for us to recognize that. Let's look at chapter 16, verse 12 and 13. And I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, there he is, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. You like, look at verse 7 just for a moment, just slide on up there. The Lord is telling them, I need to go away, and it's to your advantage. And here's verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you, and he's telling them over and over again, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. That's pretty plain. Everybody see that there? It's to your advantage. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I depart, guess what? Guess what? Hot dogs, I'm going to send him. Now, that's not they could not catch it, because anybody saying, hey, God's going to check out of church, God, man, we rely on him. The one who opens the eyes of the blind, multiplies the fish. How is it to our advantage you're going? This is not a good thing. He's trying to say it is, because I'm going to send another, the Holy Spirit. Letter C, personality, mind and emotion and will. So we just looked at the pronouns. Those are important for us to recognize. Very important. You don't give a pronoun to an object. Isn't that true? Don't do that. Nobody does. I mean, it's like the wind. You don't say, hey, it's kind of a breezy day in Huntington Beach. Aren't we glad he's here to blow the wind? Or air in your tires. You don't say, man, I really need him in my tire to get me going. You see how it just doesn't make sense. But, man, the Bible says he's all about it. So the personality of the Holy Spirit is also important for us to recognize. He has a mind. Back at chapter 14, verse 16. Oh, nope, I'm sorry, 26. 26, 14, 26. Where the Bible says so clearly, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I have said to you. So you've got someone that teaches has some intellect. Holy Spirit has intelligence. Talks about that. Chapter 15, verse 26. Again, the Holy Spirit will teach you. So there's an element of the Holy Spirit. Not only pronouns, that's helper and comforter. One translation calls the Holy Spirit the counselor. But we also have, he has an emotion. That's important. Write down Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4:30, in that letter, it's talking about, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has emotions. We can grieve him. If you look at Ephesians 4:27 on through 29, it says, hey, you can be angry, but don't sin in your hostility. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath, giving opportunity to the devil. Have you seen that? You can find that. You can look it up. You get angry, man, it's like opening the floodgates and demonic things just, I mean, how many get angry and you're like, wow, I just threw kerosene on the fire. And then, verse 30, Ephesians 4, nor grieve the Holy Spirit of God in which you were sealed. Now, friends, I'm hoping the Lord will help you and me that sometimes the grief going on inside of you is not due to a close friend or a relative. Could be just God helping you to feel an unrest to say, you just need to get with me on occasions and let's pray together. Let's talk. How many have felt that wooing that you might want to get your Bible up one of these days and get it going? Aren't you glad that those little nudges happen? Is that you? Or is that the Holy Spirit? Is there a grief going on? Are you not a happy person today? Are you not a happy person today? If you have Jesus, because see, the Holy Spirit's a joyful spirit. St. Clement said, man, the Holy Spirit's a glad spirit. And if there's a Christian that's not very happy, something's going on. You know what I mean? What kind of spirit are they into? Maybe there's a grief going on. We've all grieved a loss of a promotion or a loss of a loved one? It takes time. But what if there's nothing to really pinpoint it except we just irritated at somebody? Maybe it's the Holy Spirit. And I grieved the Holy Spirit. You and I can't give enough toys to people. We can't give enough attaboys to people because it's like a hole without a bottom. It just keeps going down, down. We just get right with the Holy Spirit. So he has emotions. We can grieve him, can vex him when translation says, man. And he has a will. Holy Spirit, God has a will. Cite 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, says, Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts individually as he wills. There it is. He makes the choice. He's got mind, emotion, and will. Number two, who is he? Is he dignitary or is he deity? Because we answered the question. First question is he a power or a person? And naturally the answer is he is a person. But how about dignity? Is he just some nice person, like an ambassador from another nation? Or is he God? And you and I know he is God. But that's important when we take a look here, because in John 16, verse 12 and 13, again, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He only has a couple hours left with him. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into how much truth? All truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you what? Things to come. That's omniscience. God's all-knowing. Nobody can tell the future except God. Nobody can tell the... Have you talked with the Lord lately just to find out what the future is holding for your family? You might be able to pray a little more accurately. He can tell you things to come. If we're not relying on God's help in these areas, then we're going in our own authority, we're going in our own muscle. And as nice as God made humanity, we do have some abilities, but we still might still grieve the Holy Spirit because he has so much more to tell you, so much more to tell you. So I like it that the Holy Spirit can tell us things to come. If you go home tonight, watch the news, that's today news. How many get a paper delivered? That's yesterday news. Get with the Holy Spirit, and you can hear about news tomorrow. Isn't that cool, huh? Okay, I just thought I'd throw that out there. When we look here, letter A, the qualifications by character is just that, his ability to know. And remember when we were enjoying the aspect of God, Psalm 139, where can I go and flee from your spirit? Where can I run from your presence? Job himself in chapter 33, verse 4, Job 33, 4, said this, that the Spirit of God has made me. He recognized Genesis 1, 2, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters of the deep. So, when we look here, letter B, validation by Christ. Let's look at chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus himself validates the Holy Spirit. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Allos is that Greek word. Allos means another just like me. The Greek vocabulary, heteros, has another form of the word another, but that means another one like me, but with a lot of difference. A lot of difference. Jesus is using allos, meaning one exactly the same, just like me, but not me. Not me. Another one just like me. It's kind of like the idea of giving you, I have two CDs, both great recording artists. I say, hey, I'm going to give you one. They're identical. How do you like? That's great. That's allos. Exactly. Not the same. I have the one. You have one. They're the same. Two different, but the same. Heteros is, if you don't like that recording artist, hey, I don't like this. Well, let me have it. I'll give you another CD, but a different recording artist on there. So you have similarity of the same product. Totally different, different. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He says, you're going to receive another one just like me, but not me. The first helper for you and me is Jesus. What did he do? Died on the cross. Then he said to you and me in history, it is finished. resurrects, gives 40 days, Acts 1 says, confirming he's resurrected from the dead. And then he goes and ascends and seated at the right hand. Day of Pentecost comes, the church age begins. Bam! Holy Spirit's now in operation. He's in this room. And if you'll let him, he'll be a part of your life. If you let him, you'll be an amazing man or woman. If you let him. Because we can also resist the Holy Spirit. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. You can resist the Holy Spirit. That's the beauty of our independence. That's what makes us different than any other animal on this planet. We have a self-will. Any other creature has not. We have a self-will. You can say yes or no. So God's very real. And so letter C, the designation by Christians. That's important for us to see too. The early church designated the Holy Spirit is God. Acts 5. Let's go there. Let's go to Acts 5. We're going to wrap this up here in a little bit. We're off to a good start. A good start. In Acts chapter 5, verse 3, the early church understood that. Peter here, he is now going to just bring a shock treatment to a couple that brings their offering to the church, and they kind of lie about how that money came about. Here it is. Look at verse 3, Acts, after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the what? So underline that, highlight that, Holy Spirit, and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to who? So, verse 3, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Verse 4, you lied to God. So the early church recognized that, and that kind of terminology throughout the book of Acts. They recognized that there are pronouns to God's Spirit moving. And I'm hoping, we're hoping, you and I will enjoy what it is, say, that's God the Holy Spirit. He's in our home. We can actually even grieve the Holy Spirit, and He can lift off our home. I mean, you know that. You're still going to heaven, and we're not talking that, because that's bought by the blood of Jesus. But your home could be one of chaos, things unkept spiritually, because we are the authority figure within that home. We bring in whatever we want. But God, who is called the what Spirit? And if the environment's not right, we're left to ourselves. Oh, we need Him, the Holy Spirit. We need Him. Let's close our Bibles. Let me pray with you. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. No need to fear Him. But our young people need the Holy Spirit. Our adults need the Holy Spirit. Our nation needs the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning, just while we're just praying right now, take occasion just to even enjoy this song for a moment. Shall we do that? Let's do that just for a moment. Be right back to pray. Friends, I want to invite you right now, while our eyes are closed. It's been said, a person can own everything on this planet, but does not have Jesus, they have nothing. And there are others that barely making it through life. We've been in some of those areas in El Salvador, but they have Jesus, they have everything. If you're here this morning and you need the Lord in your life, and you know God, the Holy Spirit's telling you, bring in Jesus to your remembrance. We want to invite you to receive Him now. Let me lead you, all of us, in a prayer for the sake of maybe those few that say, man, I'm ready to give my life to God, just as we encouraged you early this morning. This prayer goes like this. Would you repeat this simple, short prayer? Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God, and that You died for me, and that you rose to life for me. And I ask you, dear Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Come into my heart now. I'm going to trust you, Jesus, for eternal life in heaven with you. Now, dear Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be. I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, friends, I'm just excited about that. And I just want to say, maybe you're here. We're not going to have you stand up or do anything, but if you just prayed that prayer, maybe some of you have been here just kind of checking out whether God's going to be a part of your life or not, but today that prayer was impacting. Would you just raise your hand and say, you know what, I gave my life to the Lord or recommitted my life to the Lord. Would you just slip that up and put it right down? Thank you, young lady. Thank you, young man. Thank you. Anyone else? Did I miss anybody else? Anybody else? Praise God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, I know our ushers have Bibles back there. Do we have those up and running? That'd be great. We're going to make sure you get a Bible with Now That You're a Christian pamphlet on there. So we're going to have those, and that's going to be great. I need to pray you off, and I just want to hug you that raised your hand. And the rest of you, I wish we'd get one big mosh pit group hug. How's that? What a great day. Let's stand to our feet. Shall we do that? We will have individuals up here to pray. They know who they are. They'll be right here. Please do not go if you need prayer. Let them just do what God does so well. The Holy Spirit follows with signs and wonders after the preaching of the word. So, Lord, we want to thank you as we just thank you for these three hands that just recommitted or gave their lives to you first and foremost. For all of us that have heard about you and we saw your word describe you and Jesus, you inspired your church by saying it's to your advantage. Lord, what we're talking about, it's to our advantage, and we need it. We want it. We want to go with advantage. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, as we go out the door today. Lord, let your Holy Spirit just permeate the homes, the automobiles, the work decisions, the study issues, and even our challenges. Let the power of God move us to bring glory to God in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone, see you out there for donuts. God bless you. See you next Sunday.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.